Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
My name is Nikki Perry, and I'm the owner of Tea and Sympathy and a Salt and Battery Fish and Chip Shop.
And Tea and Sympathy in New York's West Village is the place to go. If your tickets to London just didn't materialize, and your invitation to the royal wedding just didn't make it here on time. For all things royal on this side of the Atlantic, just go see Nikki.
People are very excited about this wedding.
Which is why there's a brisk business here in William and Kate kitsch and sentimental souvenirs, part of the untold millions expected to be spent on the royal couple by the time they get some peace late Friday night. But why would a bunch of Americans care so much about a monarchy we threw off two centuries ago? It's a question for a historian. Stephen Hess, for instance, author of America's Political Dynasties, among other titles. Hess says the story of America is the story of love and hate for the trappings of monarchy. And which came first?
Well, it certainly started love. That is, we got a king, and with a king, we got our own aristocracy, first families of Virginia and all of that. Fortunately, those aristocrats were some of our best founding fathers.
But you'll find no references to Jefferson, Adams, or Washington here at Tea and Sympathy. It's all about William and Kate. That's what the Yanks want. Like New Yorker Janie Citron, eyeing some tea towels and mugs.
And this plate here is nice. You got... Will, Kate. Boy, those teeth are amazing, huh?
Yes, they had a lot of whitening, I guess.
No, isn't it natural that way? Isn't that royal DNA?
It could be. It could be.
It's even harder to fathom how beloved the white-teethed monarchy has become when historian Stephen Hess reminds us how vilified kings and queens were in the U.S. for more than 100 years after the Revolution.
You know, I did this book on political cartoons, and it's just full of the ridicule of American presidents, politicians, all dressed up as kings.
The worst thing you could call an American president was a king, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Yeah, you get up to a point where Thomas Nast is in Harper's Weekly is drawing devastating cartoons of Andrew Johnson.
That low point of being a drag by being a king or queen is long gone in America now. Young Kate Ferguson here at Tea and Sympathy is from the Pacific Northwest.
My friends in England have said the Americans are more excited than the Brits.
I mean, it is panic buying right now. They'll buy anything.
So what's going? What's a crazy item? What can't you keep in stock?
The mugs. I'm on my third round of mugs. We've sold hundreds of them.
Says Nikki Perry. And historian Stephen Hess says partly the love now comes from a monarchy that's more about mugs and plates and parties than it is political theory.
The love is the love we have with a good fairy storybook, Cinderella and the Prince. It doesn't cost us anything. It's fun.
It's costing fan Janie Citron more than a few bucks to prepare for her royal wedding party, though.
It's a great excuse for a party. And when my friends and I decided to do this and we sent out the invites, we got an enormous response.
You know, really, if you think about it, this is the only time in our lifetime that we are going to witness the future King and Queen of England getting married. So it really is a once in a lifetime. And I think people are very excited that there is a deep hope. I mean, I think if you introduced a King and Queen, I think this country would embrace it. I do.
Not so fast, Nikki Perry. That's where Stephen Hess would draw the line. A line drawn, as I found out, by our very first U.S. president. Wasn't there some concern about his popularity actually transforming him into a king, that if he didn't leave office, there would have been a popular movement to essentially kind of draft him as a monarch?
Absolutely, John. That is why I happen to think that George Washington is our greatest president, much as I love Abraham Lincoln. And that is, he could have been king.
Right.
There wasn't any limit in the Constitution. And he's the one who set the precedent, who turned his back on that, even though, of course, he was from that first family of Virginia background.
Has there been something of a merging? I mean, if you look in the 20th century, you've got this creep back of a sort of dynastic yearning. Roosevelt succeeds to Roosevelt. You've got Clinton. You've got Bush. The Kennedys.
It's sort of nifty in that it fits in for headlines. It's awfully good for headline writers. But in fact, they really amount to very little of the totality of American politicians.
To a lesser extent, you know, the Kennedys are the more of a dynasty, whereas the Clintons maybe in 20 years, you can say that and look back, if depending on what Chelsea decides to do.
Roosevelt's maybe?
They might have been in years past. You have between Eleanor, Teddy, and FDR, you have, you know, quite the family legacy.
The brand name, I compute, is worth one step up the political ladder. President, for example,
right,
the step up may be the House of Representatives. Franklin Roosevelt had two sons, both elected to the House of Representatives, Jimmy in California, Franklin in New York, and then each tried for one higher step up on the ladder, and both failed. One of my favorite dynasties, of course, because they were so incredibly straight-laced and honest and honorable, were the Tafts. And then the most recent one of them was sort of pushed out as governor of Ohio.
Ever heard of the Taft dynasty?
I've heard of it, but I'm not as familiar. Whereas the English family goes back to 1066, all these American families have maybe 50 to 100 years.
Well, of course. That's royal plate and mug buyer Kate Ferguson. She's right. There's no American who can compete with the House of Windsor's raw millennial history, but I still had to know. I mean, isn't there somewhere down deep a kind of royal envy? Isn't there something, Stephen Hess, even today, that's reassuring about having a king running the show?
Well, there's a bit. It might not just be for political power. It might have been you were a Rockefeller or a Bloomberg. If you're rich enough, it's nice to know that you're electing somebody who probably doesn't have his hand in the till.
So billionaires dream of being kings. The rest of us, it's House of Representatives?
Or the city council. I don't know.
I will tell you, I've had endless phone calls about flags and bunting, and my goodness, it's like wedding crazed mania. I've even had people here in tears already this morning telling me, did you see that he took her to the grave yesterday, which is going to make me cry. I better not talk about it.
Nikki Perry, her Princess Diana-loving, wedding-obsessed customers and friends won't stop talking about the royal wedding until sometime next week. What's your connection to the royals? And which camp are you in? Love, hate, envy, creepy? Couldn't care less? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And our thanks to historian Stephen Hess, author of America's Political Dynasties, America's Political Cartoons, 1754-2010, The Evolution of a National Identity, and many other books.